You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on Hoopfeed. And there is one team that I can't think of a team that has had so many highs and lows in one short start of a season as the Indiana Fever. We've had the banner raising, a trip to the White House, and injuries galore that has led to unbelievable amounts of confusion and problems for this organization. But Coach Lynn Dunn is always charming to talk to, and she's with us right now. Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually better than expected.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, you certainly had a little bit of bad news today, as apparently Katie Douglas's injury is not healing as well as would be hoped.
Yes, it seems that way. We had another checkup today with the doctor, and the back issues that she's having seem to be a situation where she's probably going to be out at least another 3 to 4 weeks. So that's not very good news.
Anytime you have injuries on this short roster that WNBA teams have to keep, to lose a player of Katie Douglas's magnitude, and then in addition to that, the other injuries that you have had, you know, the team has got to be in a position where it's difficult to even fit anybody under the cap if you could add another player.
Well, and I think that's the thing that the fans need to understand, because I've seen a lot of social media say, well, why don't they pick somebody up? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? You know, we're always limited by salary cap issues. When you have injured players, you still are responsible for their salary. So you can't cut people just because they're hurt. And so we are very limited in who we can and cannot pick up. And I think sometimes the fans don't understand that.
Well, so now with the players that you have injured, and of course we're talking about Aaron Phillips, Jeanette Poland, and Jessica Davenport plus Katie.
Let's clear this up. On Sunday, we played without Poland, without Douglas, without Davenport, without Aaron Phillips, and without our number one draft pick, Laysha Clarendon. So we had five people who would normally have played quality minutes not play. And so what we're having to do is adapt to that with people that we've picked up or people we picked up just to try out for our team, and now they're playing quality minutes. So we're doing the best we can do, I think, with five key people missing.
Now, the expectations are not until probably around the All-Star break for most of them to return?
For the injured players?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that by the All-Star break, we would expect to have Poland, Douglas, Phillips, and Clarendon back. The issue with Davenport is much more complicated. You know, her progress so far has not been as good as we would like for a stress fracture. And I think ever since Kevin Ware, the guy that broke his leg, yeah, and he had a stress fracture, everybody's erring on the side of caution. And so the other four I expect back by the All-Star break. At Davenport, that's still unknown.
Now, Clarendon she sprained her ankle against Phoenix, I believe it was.
In the Connecticut game.
Oh, okay. And she's expected to miss more than just a couple games?
Well, I didn't know she was going to miss Sunday's game. But I guess, you know, with a sprained ankle, you just never know how it's going to respond. And I'm hoping that she will be available for the game Saturday with Chicago, but I don't know yet. I haven't heard. She did not practice today.
So she'll be listed as day-to-day, but you can't tell.
But she hasn't practiced then since Wednesday.
And as a rookie, we certainly know the value of practice. So what do we do to try and get this team to the point where it's still in contention at the All-Star break? The further bad news, of course, is that teams like Atlanta and Chicago are off to tremendous starts. So it's just a matter of trying to stay positive and keep in touch with the 3 and 4 spots.
Well, here's what you got to remember. I can't worry about what the other teams are doing. The only thing I have control over are what are we doing as a team? We're faced with some adversity that are related to injury. So what we've got to do is continue to get better with the players that we have. And then our expectations are that we will individually get better with the players we have. We'll be competitive every game. And then when these five players or four of the five come back, these backups that have had quality minutes that they would normally not have gotten will be ready to help us off the bench, because some of these players that come back are going to start.
I assume that you're really hoping that the Christmases and Goodlett and they will be able to get more minutes on the court and reduce some of that load on Catchings in January and Larkins playing over 30-something minutes a game right now.
Well, that's the other issue. As we continue to play, we have got to monitor the minutes of January, Zealot, Catchings, and Larkins, so that when we get healthy, they don't break down. So there's a lot of different issues going on here as we approach these games. You know, the last thing we want to have happen is, okay, now these guys that have come back from injuries are ready to go, and some of these key players that have been playing a lot of minutes are broken down. I just can't let that happen, so I've got to monitor the minutes. A Goodlett, a Breland, a Christmas, an Aaron Thorne, they're going to have to play.
Now, Coach, one thing that I don't know how much you want to comment on this or not, because it's got to be bothering you, is I look at these injuries, and Poland got hurt in the game. Phillips, Davenport, Douglas, these are wear and tear injuries that come with playing year round. Is there anything the league can do about this, or you know, is it just something that we're going to have to deal with, and you know, something you're just going to have to bite your lip and you know, handle it?
I don't see what the league could do about it. I mean, these players have a short period of time as a professional athlete to earn all the money that they can earn. And so I don't see how we can discourage them from going overseas. You know, when they're age 35, 36, 37, their career's coming to an end. How much money have they been able to make in that short period of time? So it seems like it's a problem, a challenge, without an answer. What I can say is that when they're not playing, when they do have a brief period of time, they're going to have to take awfully good care of their bodies, rest when they can. We certainly are in a situation with our older players where we're monitoring the amount of time they practice and trying to monitor the amount of time that they play. But it's inevitable that players are going to break down because they play year-round.
Well, Coach, let's try and talk about a little something more positive for you this season. And let's go back first to the opening night of the season. You know, you've been around this league for a while. You've been involved in women's basketball for a long time. Can you tell us about your emotions when you saw that banner that you guys won being raised to the rafters, and it was in the middle of the Indiana Pacers run through the playoffs too?
Well, first of all, I don't think anyone quite understands what we had to do to win a WNBA championship. You know, we fought through some serious injuries in the playoffs. We did not have home court in the Eastern Conference Finals. We did not have home court in the finals. We were not at full strength with our team. And so we overcame an enormous amount of adversity to win that championship. No one picked us to win, not one. And if there's a reporter today that will say, oh, I picked the Fever, that's crap. Nobody picked us. And so we understand that. And I think that's what even makes this championship even sweeter, because against all odds, we were able to find a way to win a championship, and we were able to beat an awfully, awfully good Connecticut team in the Eastern Conference Finals and a tremendously fine Minnesota team in the finals. I mean, they are really, really good, and they were at full speed. So what we did was amazing, and so that's why whenever we do something to reflect on that, the ring ceremony, the banner ceremony, going to the White House, it's just a reminder of what we really did that was so unbelievably special.
So now let's talk about Democrat Lynn Dunn going to the White House. That was one of the most entertaining White House visits by a team I think I've ever seen.
Well, I imagine President Obama's still recovering from our visit. But I have to say this. Mr. President and all of his staff, they were so warm and friendly to us, and we just had a wonderful time there. And, you know, he came out and he introduced, before we came out into the press conference, he introduced himself individually to each player, and each player got a chance to shake his hand and talk to him for a few minutes. And then I had a chance to talk to him by myself for a few minutes before we came out, and it was just a once-in-a-lifetime event. And to be honest with you, because I am such a diehard Democrat, a lot of people call me a yellow dog Democrat. You know, we'll vote for a yellow dog before we'll vote for a Republican. So that's how I was brought up in the South, and I wanted him to know how loyal and I am to him and to the Democratic Party. And I think that just kind of let some of the tension go when I first got up there. And it was just easy to talk to him, and he was a fun person. And I know every one of our players will cherish that day forever.
Well, it was certainly, I think he's got a great idea with you running for office when you're done there, Coach. I think either that, or I think you should get some sort of, appointee as being a representative of women's basketball, that's for sure.
Well, I can assure you this. One of the things that I wanted to do was celebrate our championship with him, but also make sure he knew how much we appreciate all he does for women in sport, with Title IX, just empowering women every day. You know, he's passed so many pieces of legislation, you know, the Lilly Ledbetter Equal Pay for Equal Work Act, appointing two women to the Supreme Court, you know, making sure that legislation is passed that women can be more prominent and make equal pay in the military. So he empowers women every day, and I think sometimes we forget to say thank you for that.
Well, Coach, you know, one of the things that just talking to you about this now, one of the things that makes the WNBA coaching right now that's going on out there so special is the fact that, you know, you guys do share your political feelings. You do feel your social feelings. You're not just, you know, mechanics of the game. You know, and that's part of what is so important about the WNBA, in my opinion, is the fact that it does give women that opportunity and kids somebody to look up to. And I think it's important that you tweet about things like that, and Cheryl Reeve tweets about things like that. And it continues.
Well, you know, I feel very strongly, and a lot of people don't know this little tidbit, but, you know, around New Year's of 2011, I made two wishes in front of my family. I said, I want to win a WNBA championship, and I want to do everything within my power to get Obama reelected. And I'll be dying if both of those things didn't come true. Now, I really thought the WNBA championship was going to be the hardest thing, but, you know, there was a while there where I thought it was going to be then getting Obama reelected. So those two things were on my list to accomplish. And now I've got one more thing I want to accomplish. I want to see a woman elected president. I think it's way past time. I think all of us that believe in empowering girls and women, we have to do everything within our power to break that glass ceiling and put a woman in the White House.
Well, I think that you're well on your way to being that candidate, Coach.
not me, but I've got a good idea of who would make a good candidate for the first female president.
I think we
both know who that is.
Yes, I think that you're absolutely right about that. Well, Coach, I want to thank you for taking some time with us this afternoon. I want to wish you the best of luck in sorting through this injury mess, and you know, hopefully you'll be able to work things out to maybe get another body in or get some players back healthier sooner than expected. But most important, I did want to take this time to congratulate you on the success that you've had and to thank you for all you've done as a pioneer in women's basketball. You know, there are not many coaches that can dissect things on the court and in the huddle and do it as colorfully as you do.
Well, I think that comes from being from the South. So I thank you for those kind words, David. And I just want to say, you know, we're going to do the best that we can do. We're going to keep plugging. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep getting better. And we're going to compete every game, irregardless of how many players we have.
Well, Coach, you know, even as long as you have Tamika on the team, you know, you've got a better than 50-50 shot every night.
Well, we've had a couple of chances here. I mean, I think, what are we, 1-5? And we could easily be, you know, 4-2. So we're still battling.
Keep it up, Coach, and I'm sure
okay.
The wins are going to be coming.
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.